There's one word that I love the most, and the word is opportunity.
Yes.
Because when somebody gives you opportunity, that right there is, that just means that they care about you and that they love you. Now, oftentimes we're not seeing that opportunity as opportunity because we're stuck in our shadow. What's our shadow? Well, we're stuck in this realm of fear, anxiety, all these different things versus I am powerful. I am strong. I am Bruce Lee. I am an amazing speaker. I am.
Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. Our goal is that by listening to our podcast, you will be inspired to level up. With the help of some amazing guests, we'll be inspired by some inspirational success stories and find out how you can level up your business, your life, and your relationship with yourself. Because I know that by leveling up and balancing these three aspects of your life, you can make a difference and impact the lives around you. Level Up Podcast will be a series of interviews featuring successful professionals who are making a mark and a difference in their lives and others. They will share their incredible stories of how they did it, so you can be inspired and learn from the very best.
Well, first of all, Anthony Morrell, thank you so much for taking the time today out of a busy schedule to spend some time with me and just have an opportunity to share and to get to know you a little better. As I was saying, I started to think this morning, have I ever had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Anthony and just have that one-on-one conversation? I don't think we have. So today, it's that day. I'm very excited. I'm super grateful that you were able to spare the time to sit with us today. So our audience are going to get so much insights today. I'm excited and I'm so looking forward to spend some time with you. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be doing this. And, I'm a big believer in just say yes. And so I said yes, right when you asked me. It was like, let's just do it. Yes,
Let's just
absolutely.
do it, right? And
Better
this
say
is the
yes.
thing that we're in right now. Let's just go, let's get it done, and let's get moving forward. So with that being said, we'd love to start off by just getting to know you a little better. Like I said, I do know who Anthony is, but most of the people that might be seeing this podcast today might not know. Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Midtown Manhattan in New York. I'll go back. Moved to California when I was probably around the age of three. So I don't really remember it living there too much. I was really a California kid. So I was really raised in Rialto, California. My mom, when we first moved over here, two bedroom apartment we lived in. Where she was working three jobs probably at the time, just really doing all that she could. And that was kind of that. My two older brothers really, they really raised me in a sense from, really getting me involved in sports. I was very blessed because early on they got me involved in sports. They took me everywhere with them. I mean, I remember like senior ditch day because I was involved in it. I was always with my brothers, either at the wrestling practices or, whatever they were, whatever they were doing because they were my babysitters. So I just was always with them. And so it's interesting on the way over here, I'm listening to, New Edition. I'm listening to, all this music that's like probably a generation right before me. However, it's
But
just
you were
what
exposed to it. You were growing up listening to that.
I grew up is what I thought was cool when I was growing up, So which is awesome, So people often meet me or they say, they meet one of my brothers and they go, "Oh, I could see that." And then they meet another of my brother and they could go, "Oh, I could totally see that." So I'm kind of a blend
Both of them.
of their personalities in a sense. And so it's really, I'm just so blessed to have had them because I know there's a lot of kids that grow up, without that father figure. For me, I was very close to my mom, extremely close to my mom. And also with that though, I kind of had two really great examples. And I still do have two great examples of what you know, you can.
I get chills listening to it because it's so interesting. A lot of times people will complain about, you know, I didn't have this. Instead of you looking, this is what I had. You know, I had two role models that I was able to pick from, right? And learn from and still be able to, you know, have that relationship with them. I think it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Now, what about your mom? What was she like when you were growing up? Tell me a little bit about her.
Oh, my mom was like, you know, it's interesting, right? She was this the strictest person you could ever imagine growing up.
Okay.
I'm talking about Bertha, like, how do you work three jobs and also your home is like
Impeccable. Clean.
you can't, you know, just like you could like any like it was, and that's just the house that she held. I mean, that was just what I was used to, you
The
know. It was like,
standard she had for herself and her house. That's
oh
beautiful.
my gosh, it was always, you know, and I say this today. I remember Saturday mornings, you know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. She's
Vacuuming.
the vacuum right under the bed, you know. But that's just, you know, she was very, you know, very disciplinary. You know, I think she
Okay.
kind of had, when we moved to California, she kind of had to take on that role of being tough, you know, just because we were a little bit younger at the time,
Right,
you know.
right.
And
And having three boys, you think about a mom, you know, having to have three boys that she needs to raise. I can only imagine. I have two, and I'm like, yeah, there are times when I'm like, oh wow, I need to be a little tougher because they're boys. So having three, I can only imagine.
you know, I never even knew what she thought. Yeah, she's very, very she allowed for a lot of autonomy in our life though, growing up. She allowed
Okay.
us, you know, even me going through high school and junior high and all that, it was a lot of autonomy. So I was able to kind of go out and do what I was gonna do, but also she was very strict on the little things around the house that it was like that translated into like, don't be a bad person.
Right.
If that makes sense, you know,
Absolutely.
it's like if she's gonna get mad about like the fact that
You
my
know,
car
thanks. I
broke
better not do anything
down,
crazy out there,
yeah,
right?
like if I go out there and, you know, and she, you know, she would say all, you know, I'm just gonna ask, you know, all the little stuff that just like the subtle jabs that kind of point you in the right direction.
Help you along the way, right? To stay on track and stay on the line you know you needed to be on. That's awesome memories. I never got to meet your mom. I came right after that had happened. So it's so fun to kind of learn from you. What was that like? And I'm sure she's watching us over right now. So
Always.
thank you for sharing that part of you. Now, going to school, obviously having those two role models, what do you think was the biggest impact that they have on who you are today?
Yeah, I mean, so with my brothers, you know, they were very entrepreneurial, I would say,
Okay.
extremely entrepreneurial. Where I remember I was like probably 12, 11, like in that age.
And that age.
But I remember like going, they were involved in a network marketing company back there back then. It was called NTC.
Okay.
They had just, or maybe they were, maybe I was even a little bit younger actually, because they were still like just getting out of high school type of a thing. And I remember us driving to Irvine, California, and we would go to these network marketing events. And I
Okay.
remember like just the guy on the message, one note that I never forgot, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he always said, he's like, you know what job stands for? Just over broke.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
And you
yeah.
got exposed to those kind of
Oh,
environments very early on. Now I can see what
yeah.
that's coming from.
Oh
Okay.
my gosh. Well, then, and then fast forward, right? And then my older brother gets into real estate, and you know, at that point in time, you know, now I'm starting to get in travel ball and baseball games and things like that. And so, you know, when Danny got into real estate, that's when our life really started to change, right? Because we lived in an apartment my whole life, growing like
Right.
all through middle school, you know. So all of a sudden now we're living in Rancho Cucamonga. We have a house.
That's
Like,
awesome.
my gosh, like do we have that? Like some kids are, I'm just like, oh, we made it, you know, like crazy, right? So you know, even though the furniture was like a mattress, right? But we were,
You
however,
had a house.
but we were in the area though. We were in the area that was like, we were in the area that is like, okay, we're not in that area anymore, which
Anymore, right?
I did, you know, I will say was probably the biggest blessing because you develop a lot of street smarts and things like that, and situational awareness that even now today, as I'm working on and studying martial arts and things of that nature, that I'm learning, like some of these ranges of how I go about things, I already kind of have them intrinsically in my mind just because of the way that I was raised, right? I've seen danger and I see these things, so I'm able to kind of take a look at them and adapt earlier than later, type of a thing. So I forget where I was going with that. However,
Your first house, you moved into Rancho. Now you're in a different area. You have a home. Your life is changing. You're going into a different area now.
I'm meeting new friends. I'm hanging out with new people. All through high school, it was just kind of a whirlwind.
Awesome.
But also I'm playing sports, and my dream growing up was to become a Major League Baseball player. I mean, that
Wow. I was gonna
was,
ask you, what was that dream like? What do you want to do?
if the teacher would ask me, is, I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. Write that down. Along the same time, though, my brother was really getting going in business. Both my brothers were really highly like motivated. Now they different brain. They're different people, as I mentioned. One very expressive, very driver oriented. The other very, I would say, more analytical, more strategic, right? And so they're really a very nice blend, I believe, kind of the four personality styles. But they also have that fifth personality style, which is like, we grew up where we grew up, but this is not where we're going to end up, type of thing, right? They have that. So it's a really, it's just an ultimate blessing. I remember being like younger, going to my baseball tournaments and things like that, and we were listening to Mike Ferry. No, really, on the cassette tapes, like we were.
No, and I can see that from Danny, like on it 24/7 and getting himself, ready for that business that he was in. So
It's so interesting, right? I think about like Santi, I really do. And I think about some of the other kids, and I'm just like, wow, like I was the kid that ran around the office. I was the kid that hurts, these business juggernauts sharing ideas and thought processes and mindsets. And it's like, I still remember that mindset so much. The ability, it's okay to think big.
Absolutely.
So that
You're
like
getting them exposed, and now their brain is not narrow. They're like, see this as a possibility. And that's amazing. So I'm sure you have the same with your kids nowadays, where they see you doing what you do. Because I remember my middle son, who's now 20. He was like 2, 3, and I'll have him in the car. And he would always ask me, Mommy, are we going to open escrow? Are we going to an escrow? He would ask those questions because he will
Making
hear
money on
talking
that?
about that all the time. So he would be like, Mommy, are we going to an escrow? And I will be just laughing, because it is so true. Your kids are exposed to what it is that you're doing, and they see that like it's normal. So it's so interesting. Thank you for sharing that part. Because again, some of us, again, unconscious, we're setting up the path for our kids and the environment we are, and they become part of it, and they just become like norm, for them to think bigger, to go after, bigger goals than just getting a job. And it's so funny you said about network marketing, because that's what I started. I started in network marketing, and
I
I
know we've had that
remember
conversation.
those meetings, and I remember going to those motivational speakers sessions where just like jaws over broke. What are you gonna do with that?
Well, you start to
So
learn
funny.
about leveraged income and all of these things, and those seeds just plant in your mind, and you're just like, whoa. And it's interesting, right? Because it's when am I going to call upon it, type of a thing. And
Absolutely,
so as life
absolutely.
starts to unfold, you start to go through different journeys and different walks and different phases and things like that. And I will tell you, I'm so grateful for my upbringing, because along the lines also, I had a lot of great baseball coaches, right?
Right. And
A
that's
lot of
where I'm gonna
great
go
coaches.
next. So tell me about your coaching, because obviously as a athlete, as a player, you get to be exposed to different coaches as well, routines and the discipline of, team player as well. I mean, all of those things have to have some effect, growing up. So talk to me about that part of your upbringings. What was that
Well, I
like?
mean, I'll kind of go through the list, right? Mike Spears, Amateur Baseball Development, ABD. That was my very, probably one of my very first, he outside of like Little League, like the coach that you,
Your little.
travel ball is what they call it.
More competitive, right? When you get to now travel, you see not just your little area of teams. Now you get to see this huge, you know, from different states, from different areas, and the competitive level changes. I was the team manager for soccer for like 15 years. So I was like, oh my God. And then you get to see like, oh shit, I thought I was good. Let me see. These kids are like way ahead of me. What am I going to do? Right.
You get exposed, you know, you get exposed that there's people, you know, around the nation and then around the world. I played on the Pan Am, like the Pan American Games. Mm-hmm. We traveled to Panama. I played against Ecuador, Colombia, things like that. And I'm like,
wow.
Whoa, like these kids are, you know, what I think is serious. Like these kids are really serious.
At another level, right?
Yeah. This is what they do, you know? Right. And so, you know, I would say more than anything, you know, Mike Spears, shoes need to be shined. I always remember this, Bertha, when we would walk around hotels, because we would stay at hotels, we had to have our shirts tucked in. We had to have our hair done. We could not wear hats. You know, like, you know, you see kids, you know, they'll put the hat on. And they're saying, no. It was like, he was like preparing us to become men. And he was really preparing us to say, you know, as uncomfortable as it is, and is like, we don't want to shower. We just want to go play. No. That was like, and he was like, oh my gosh, like it was just on it, you know, it was on it. It was even when we're not playing, we're getting better type of a mentality. And right. So that's, you know, I started to learn that. Fast forward, my coach, Bobby Sheridan, Los Osos High School. I mean, he was just a pillar. I mean, you know, boys going through high school, I mean, I'm just making mistakes, you know, basically what it is, you know, making mistakes, not really knowing how to go about things. And, you know, he was all about competing, and he gave us the space to express ourselves and compete. I got kicked out of a couple of like baseball games that were highly competitive, looking back, it's like, oh, but it's like, it's also like, no, he allowed that. He allowed us to go out and compete. And not only that, but when we did go out and compete, he would come in and he would back us up, you know? Wow. And I love him till this day for that, because, you know, some coaches are like, no. Hey,
calm down.
You know, aim it down, right? Play button. Yeah. And not Coach Sheridan. He was like, you got to get it. And then Andy Rojo, out of junior college, I wasn't set to go to any school. And Andy Rojo was the individual. I was playing in an all-star game at Quake Stadium here in Rancho Cucamonga. Mm-hmm. Waited for me from Riverside Community College. He waited for me until I left. And I mean, he changed my life forever, because he said, hey, we want to give you a red shirt opportunity to come play at Riverside Community College. And I'm like, I'm in. My buddy Wes Stone's older brother, Wayne Stone, played at Riverside Community College. He got a scholarship to Texas University. I'm like,
I need to go there.
I'm going. So, I mean, probably that was a tough time, because, you know, I was basically like, let's just say this. I had a roof over my head. However, you know, my brothers were also, my mom wasn't very, you know, well off, right? And she was also the lady that, like, when she passed away, if she made $100, like 60 of it was going to the church, right? Like that's just who she was. And so, you know, but my brothers were very like, hey, like we got to live our own life. Like you're 18. You could stay, but like you got to figure out how you're going to get to and from, type of thing.
Right, so, right.
You know,
which is great too, because it gives you the opportunity to become more, again, self-sufficient, independent, and again, getting to be your own self now and take control over. Because a lot of times, and I don't know about you, obviously my kids are older, but when you think of your kids, you want to prepare them, but we also want to give them the space to go in and do their own thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, there is that balance, right? There's that balance. And so I'm so grateful for the way that I was raised and the way that I was brought up. I've just had so many, you know, all along life, I've always just been in communication with just great individuals.
You've been exposed to some amazing, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but so what happens there with the college? You ended up going to Riverside?
Yeah, I went to Riverside Community College. Mm-hmm. Dennis Rogers, I meet Coach Rogers, who's like a legacy coach in baseball. Uh-huh. And, you know, he basically just, you know, discipline. I mean, it was, you know, he was so much about the discipline and the way that we carried ourselves. The wins and the losses kind of came as a result of who we were. I remember one of my memories of playing junior college baseball was we didn't play well one game, and we had just gotten sponsored by Nike. So we were like, think about like, we were good. We were like,
right. Yeah. For them to sponsor you, it had to be good.
Yeah. So we got a Nike sponsorship, the whole thing. And I remember Dennis Rodgers one day, we had lost. We had gotten beat to a team that we were not supposed to lose to because our head got a little,
got a little bigger, right?
Little big. There was tough getting through the doorway, right? And I remember he made us turn our uniforms inside out. And he made us black out with the black polish. He made us black out the Nike signs on our cleats, like that day. And it, so we played a game with like
inside out
uniforms.
There was a lesson, right? There was a lesson there to be learned, and he was making sure you guys got the message.
Oh my gosh! Oh my goodness! So yeah. So and then from there, I ended up getting a. I was drafted as a draft and follow in baseball. I ended up going to UNLV to play their University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And, you know, there met some just amazing friends. I ended up breaking my foot. Senior year was a little weird. I played really well. However, I just didn't like, I didn't get drafted, and kind of my career was just like in baseball was just like, eh. And I was just at a place, honestly, where I was like really calling upon some of the stuff of like, I knew I'm like, if this is not going to work,
now what am I going, right?
All the way, or like, I know that I could fall back on this business type of a thing, like this is a skill set in a sense. I ended up just deciding, I said, you know what, I'm done. Like, I didn't get a call in the draft, none of that stuff. I got a call to go play in British Columbia for an independent ball team. I said, nope. Here's the cool part. I was involved in a multi-level marketing company then as well.
I was going to go there in a minute, but okay, let me see what this ends up in.
So I was making about $1,000 like every like weekly type, like, you know, when they did the payouts, like every other or like a month, whatever it was at the time.
Typically it was a monthly kind of bonus.
Monthly, yeah.
You'll get from the team, right?
Like $1,000 a month, yes. That type of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I was getting that. Now, the nice thing was all my schooling was paid for.
It was, again, something amazing. And this is for the younger kids that are watching us. You know, see how that's something that you did at the beginning for fun. And it became this, you know, dream of yours to play and make it big. But it did allow you to go into college with a full scholarship. And that's again,
graduated, like just, and you know what? I got to live, right?
And you get to enjoy life.
Yeah, I got to live. And so like something that my brothers didn't really get to do because they were
Needed to work. They needed to, you know,
it was what it was. It was what it was. Absolutely.
And that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because I guarantee you there'll be some kids probably watching this. I know my son got to play for 5 years in Hawaii. Poor kid, right? We always joke around. I'm like, oh, pobrecito, you know. He had to go to Hawaii and he played soccer, his thing. But it's amazing to see how you can definitely find the thing you love to do as growing up as a kid. And then you get to enjoy the, you know, the benefits of your hard work, because it does take discipline, hard work, you know, put the effort in so you can get picked up and you can get a scholarship out of it.
Well, you look, and depending on where you go, you know, I look back, I learned how to travel really well.
Very well.
I learned how to travel light. I know how to get in and out of airports. I know how to do all those things. Like I just, you know, your mind is exposed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You realize that it's not just Rancho Cucamonga.
Our little town, right, where we grew up.
Well, what it, you know, if you're in Lubbock, Texas, for example, you know, it's just a different environment.
Absolutely.
So what I loved about that was even just meeting new players is like you really learn how to be a chameleon in just different dynamics and different situations and all of that stuff. So
that is amazing. So tell me what happens there. You get draft, or you get chose to play with this independent team, but you're like, wait a minute, now I kind of already got exposed to a business. It looks like this is producing some money. You know, what was that like?
That I had gone out, I bought a car, that business goes away. And
Oh.
so when that business went away, I at that point go to, I was taking that money and I was basically with that money, I was going to the nightclub. I lived in Las Vegas. So I was going to the nightclub. So, we're getting bottles, we're doing the whole thing for my like my teammates that were of age, right? And
Living the life, living the life.
I wasn't saving any money, I was like that wasn't even a thing. So, but the nice part about that though was I met a great friend named Daniel Gutiar.
Don't
Daniel.
tell me. Is that the one who's coming?
No.
Oh, I'm like Daniel G. I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Daniel, I forget his last, but he was super cool. He was a VIP host, and I remember like texting him. I didn't get drafted. I said, "Hey, I'm looking to work. Like, I need to make some cash like right now. What can I do?" And I was finishing up my schooling. My whole mindset was like, you know what? I'm just gonna have fun. Like, cause watch, I always went to the party, but I had to leave early because I had some practice or weightlifting
Practice.
or something the next
And but
day.
that's another good thing, Anthony. Let me stop you right there because a lot of times people think, oh, they're just having fun. But as a player, as an athlete in college, you do have certain restrictions. You cannot be out way too late because you have to be out next morning for practices. And
Absolutely.
again, according to my son, there are times they'll just randomly check. So you have to keep your body, cleans and all of those good things that, sometimes people don't realize that even that part is amazing because it
It is.
does help you stay.
It's really nice guardrails. It's really nice
Absolutely.
guardrails, and I didn't want those guardrails at that point in my life. I literally just wanted to like work 3 days a week, and I just wanted to go party. And I wanted to go to Dre's with my friends and party till 6 o'clock in the morning and then go to a day club party, go eat breakfast and then go to a day club party.
The next one.
That's just, and so I ended up becoming a promoter. This was a great time. I became a promoter on the strip, and in essence, my job was to come up with this. I came up with a script, and my job was to walk girls from a group into the nightclub.
Pops. Wow.
This was my
So
job.
you
So
were doing sales already. You were already
I did sales.
recruiting. You were
I learned how to prospect. I
You were very good at prospecting the right crowd to get into the clubs.
exactly. Well, this competition, right? You got all these different clubs, and
Absolutely,
we're trying to
yeah.
have a party over here. So, you start to leverage, right? So, okay, well, we don't want to go to that party. Nah, I get it. You want to go to this party first, though, as a pregame, then you go to that. So just doing all that good stuff. And then what happened was I went through a winter season, and the winter season was it was just slow. Like Vegas got really slow during the, so there was nothing to promote, right? And I
Ooh.
learned about seasons in business, and I was like, crap. Well, I had done such a good job at promoting that they moved me actually inside of the hotel. So I would sit in front of the club. People walk by you till today. If you go to
Yeah,
Vegas,
I'm
it's
sure
like
too.
if you're
They
in a
have.
club, you walk by, there's a guy sitting right. So I was sitting there doing that and basically taking reservations. Check this out. One day, Paulie Friedman, who I just saw in Vegas, like, and I thanked him. I thanked him, by the way, for this, what I'm gonna share with you. I just saw him
Last
on.
week, right? You were out there last week.
Yeah, exactly. So I see Paulie, I'm at a cigar lounge, and I see Paulie walk out, and he didn't even recognize me. He's like, I go, you saved my life. I go, well, he's like, what do you mean? And I shared this with him. I said, I was at a place where I wasn't making any money because I was promoting, and they were having a busser audition. So bussers are the ones that are in the nightclub. They go in, they basically clean the tables. There's a cocktail waitress, and then there's a busser. The busser will basically help with the table. The nice thing is you get a base, right? Because you're now an employee of the hotel. I was an employee of the Wynn and Encore. Now, when you become an employee of the Wynn and the Encore, they take you through an entire training manual, Bertha. They take you from A to Z systems. You learn systems at like a
High level.
level that I will tell you, though. That is a system. Like, and that system is there to extract your money, right? So you learn the systems. And then on the other part of it, though, is that, companies go in and they buy out the space. So there's work. There's work,
Right,
basically,
right. Okay.
right? So I did that, and then they were opening up another nightclub. I said, I'm going. Me and my buddy John Damali, we were there. We're like, we're going to the new nightclub. Well, fast forward, we went over there. I became a lead busser there. That's where I ended up meeting my wife.
Oh, how funny. Look, a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Wow. So you got definitely so into the whole Vegas
Oh yeah.
nightlife
Oh yeah.
party, got to experience all of that.
Very comfortable in
And
that atmosphere.
but again, see, those are the things that shape you into who you are today because of all the experience we live, right? It's our journey, it's our life, whatever we go through. A lot of times people will always say, oh, it's because of this, I'm not that. I'm like, no, that was just part of what made you who you are today. I would always think that if it wasn't because of your upbringings, because of your brothers, the exposure you got, you wouldn't be who you are today,
Yeah, for sure.
right? So moving forward, you get to meet your beautiful wife, and then what happens?
Well, we were dating for a few months, a couple of months, and then we found out she was pregnant.
Surprise.
Yeah. And you know what? That was when I just said, okay, like right now, and I still say this till today when I deliver the pack presentation, I pop my head up and I look around.
Yes.
And I said,
Those
okay.
are the moments I think in life when you get to be and say, okay, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where I am. Here's what I have. What am I gonna do? And it's great. Sometimes those big responsibilities that show up in our lives are what, makes us take those big steps that we get to take. So tell me that part. Share with me. I heard this story a little bit before, but share with our audience, what was that like? How old were you then at that point? You were young.
I was young. I was 24.
Wow.
I was
Okay.
young. I was
All
young. You know,
right.
looking back, I was young. I thought I was older at that point, right? I was like, I'd gone to college and I just graduated, you know. That was an interesting time where then I was like, you know what? Pop my head up, look around. I'm gonna get into real estate. Because I remember real estate, we could buy a house with real estate. Real estate, we could start to do some stuff with real estate, right?
Right.
So then I get into real estate, and my brother, his one of his first coaches was a gentleman by the name of Joe DiRaffaele.
Okay.
Joe DiRaffaele, another just staple in my life. We ended up buying a house in Las Vegas. He was our agent, and then I let him know, hey, by the way, I'm also, because we bought a house because we were gonna have a baby, right? I said, hey, Joe, also, while we're doing this, I'm getting my license. Failed, failed, failed. I'm working at night and then getting up in the morning to go take the test.
Get
I'm
the
working,
test.
getting off at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, then going to take the test straight from the club type of a
Oh
thing.
my God.
Okay. So I have a little bit of empathy, but I have no empathy for somebody that tells me that this is hard, because I was going through about as tough of a situation. I mean,
Could
talking
be.
like sleep deprived type of hard, right?
Sleepless, yes.
So I ended up getting my license. And then what do you want to know? I ended up getting my license. And the thing with Joe D, that which was so lovely about Joe that he told me, was he taught me a couple things that were really big. The first thing he taught me was I started hanging around. This is no offense to lenders, but I want your audience to hear this story. Lenders were constantly saying, hey, I want to work with you. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this, right? And I remember Joe D. So here's what it was. I was going to a lot of like mixers.
Oh, got you. The dining, what do they call the dine and wine? Yeah, that's what they used to do. We no longer do that, which is amazing. Yeah,
Like, oh, I'm having
no, I
an
remember
event.
those. I remember those days.
Yeah, on this program or this product or something like that. And I would go and sit there for 2 hours thinking, like, I'm learning right now. I'm really getting better at my craft. And I remember one day I walk in and like I don't have any sales or anything going on, and Jody walks over to me and he says, where were you yesterday? I said, oh, I went to go to the to go learn at the
This
thing
event.
with the
So and so.
the product. And he goes, okay, interesting. Where were you the day before? Oh, I went to go. He says, I'm going to tell you something right now. He says, there are people that find ways to work, and there are people that find ways not to work. And all you're doing is finding a way not to work.
That's a good one. That's a good one for audience right there. There are people who find ways to work, people who find ways not to work.
And I said, oh, okay. I get it. And so that was huge. Another thing that I learned that was massive from Jodi was just really starting to bring out my self-confidence. Like your son, I grew up knowing what escrow and this and this. And so I know that the real estate business is a business. Now it's completely different to actually be in the transaction and having to step up for yourself and having to go out and prospect, follow up.
Do what it needs to be done to generate business.
Get a contract signed, right? Like he's one of the, you know, one of the individuals that taught me, like, you don't get paid for anything else. Like you get paid when the contract is signed. Then you're still not even paid, right? But the more you can do that, the better you have an opportunity.
Yes, more opportunities you have to be able to make the money, right?
You get it.
I always say we don't get paid until we close. So nobody gets paid. Nobody gets paid. You can have 20 listings. You can have 20 buyers. Nothing closed. No one gets paid. So that's awesome. So then that's a point where you're like, okay, what am I going to do? My career real estate. Is that at that point that you decide to go and look for coaching? And what was it like at that point that you're like, okay, I know the basics. I've been around this business forever, but now it's my turn to actually go and execute. Go do what needs to be done.
Well, for me, I remember I had been listening to Mike Ferry tapes since I was. So to me, Mike Ferry was like, I mean,
he still is the father of all the grandparents, you know, the grandfather of the industry, it feels like, you know, I mean, he's been around so long.
So I remember going to an event and being in the back and just kind of like hanging out and just being so excited and, you know, just going through all the breakout rooms and just everything. I mean, I would literally just watch Mike and I would just like, I just want to get close.
Right, know? Right.
I just, because I had been hearing this audio of this man, you know, when I was little. So fast forward, I end up signing up for coaching and that was wild though. That when I signed up for coaching was crazy because I remember I didn't have any money. I had no money and it was $1,000 a month commitment. And I remember thinking, going back and talking to one of the coaches and he goes, I said, okay, it was like on the Thursday. So I'd gone the event. It was like on a Thursday. And he goes, okay, fill out your information. I said, well, I got to talk to my wife about this. And he gave me some like ninja Jedi objection.
Objection, right? Like, there is no way.
He's like, look, your wife's probably, you don't got any money. Your wife's probably going to tell you, like, she's probably not going to agree with what you're doing or something like that. So I said, look, I'm going to call her out of respect.
Right.
Call my wife, gangster. Call my wife. And I said, look, I'm getting ready to sign up for coaching. And she says, okay, how much is it? I said, it's $1,000 a month. And she goes, you realize we have like $150 in our account right now? And I said, yeah, but I have a closing tomorrow.
Okay.
So here, I did the whole thing. I told the guys, in my whole, I was like, okay, well, that means that I'll get paid on Monday. If I get paid on Monday, then I'm gold, right? Like, and I can figure it out.
Yeah.
So I go, signed up for the coaching.
Those are the gold nuggets. I want you guys to know,
this is the
moment in life when we're like, okay, I get to decide. And then you're like,
they called me on like the next day or whatever. They're like, hey, excuse me, Mr. Morrell. You know, unfortunately the card didn't go through. I said, really? You're kidding me. I said, okay. I said, let me do this. Let me call the bank. It's been acting a little weird. Let me call the bank. If it's okay, I mean, when am I going to get my coach? Oh, you probably won't get your coach until like Tuesday of next week. I said, beautiful. I said, here's what I'll do. I'll give you a call back on Monday. I'll have a different card because I'm switching banks. I was like, what happened was that on Tuesday, the sun hit my eye and I was pulling them out of left field. Right. So anyways, cause I just really wanted it. I wanted it so bad. It was like, You know, and I was like, you know what?
This is gonna be it. This is gonna make it happen.
I don't care if I don't have anything else. Like, I have this, right? And
Right, right.
So I ended up going, and you know, I don't, like, it always works itself out, right? And
that's absolutely. Well, and the message that I really would like to get from this is, like, a lot of times in life, we're gonna get put in a position where, like, should I not, maybe? But how important was coaching for you when, after you went through, and looking back, was it the best decision you made? Was it hard, but it still showed up the results you were expecting? What was that like?
It was just that it was an amazing decision, you know. It was a life-changing decision.
There we go.
Absolutely. Why? Because I didn't know what I didn't know, you know, and it just, I'm just so grateful for it, you know, for my coaches that I had. And then, and I was just super blessed. I had a coach named Sydney Fullen, who's just an absolute titan in the industry. The nice thing, though, was that Sydney had basically gone out and built brokerages. Okay. Ooh, so she had this skill set that, like, nobody else had.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else had this skill set that she had. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, I end up leaving Nevada and I come to.
What was that move? Tell me about that. Why did you decide to come to California?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was early November, probably middle of November. And my mom had a stroke. I was at Bass Pro Shop. My brother was starting in tarot at that time. And I remember my mom was a TC admin in the office. She had a stroke in the office.
Oh, wow.
My daughter was like 1 year old at the, you know, 1 year old, very, you know, she's a baby, less than one, baby. Less than one, actually. Yeah. Or maybe one. And I remember telling my wife, I said, Kristen, you guys go back home. I'm driving. Like, I was just like, what? Like, my mom, like, and birth of my mom, I'll tell you, like, very strict growing up. However, there was a time where she got saved and she found Jesus, and she just poured her whole life's work was into going to the food house ministry.
You were telling me that once.
Right. It was all service. It was just, it was all service, you know? And so you got to understand that, like, she had gone from, like, I saw my mom change her whole energy, her whole everything changed. Her lightheartedness, her forgiveness, her empathy, like, all of that came into play in her life. Nothing to do with money. Nothing to do with money. She was just at peace. She was just at
That's
peace.
Amazing.
And so I'm like, it's my mom. Like, I don't know how else to put that, but, like, you know, your mom.
Well, that's what we do. I feel like that's what we do. And especially in the Hispanic community, like, somebody gets sick, everybody shows up. Like, what do we need to do? How are we going to take care of her?
You know? Yeah. So
that was
drive down to Vegas, kind of got a little bit of a feel. And, you know, doctors gave the diagnosis. She's going to have a year to live, whatever it was, 6 months. Time I talked to my wife and I'm like, look, we got to move, you know? Yeah. And my wife I was selling real estate at that time. So my wife had just stopped working, basically. Oh, no. Yeah, she had, like, just stopped working because now she was with the baby. So I had made the transition where now I'm making real estate. I'm making money in real estate. She stops and now, remember, pop my head up, look around. Now she's at home with the baby. So I'm working the
schedule. Doing what needs to be done. Absolutely.
Another conversation, by the way, I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning. I'm hitting the gym. I'm at the office at 7 o'clock. I'm working on my skill. All of that. I mean, I am about, you know.
Yeah. And that's something comes with coaching too, Anthony. I'm gonna say that because it does help you get yourself in that state where you know what needs to be done to get your mind ready, to get yourself ready, and to be able to produce at that level. You do need that structure.
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. So
coming to California, your brother's starting in tarot. You want to be close to mom, spend time with her, I'm assuming, and just to be around the family, right? Because that's what we do. That's what we do. So, and that transition, obviously, then you go into work with Danny. Is that when you guys started working together? Okay.
Yeah. So I go in and I'm at Intero and I'm just an agent, you know, and I'm just, but I was just out listing everybody. I mean,
there you go.
People that were even people that had been in the market for 10, 15 years, like, very quickly, I just started outlisting them.
That's awesome.
So, you know, the office.
Tell me the process of Intero. I know you guys did amazing. We ended again, Alex ended up working with Danny at one point. And obviously you guys got to build it so strong. I remember hearing Intero and it was all about that energy, that structure of the role play, the huddles in the morning. And it was just the whole energy type of crazy. Everybody will talk about you guys.
Well, the office primarily when I first joined was a buyer's agent office. I mean,
Okay.
and then, you know, the people would ask, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I, well, I'm in coaching with Mike Ferry. Like that's what I do, right? And so then naturally, like there, you know, there. But my brother had had a relationship with Mike, so that
Helped
kind
too.
of evolution started to come together, right? And you know, that's what it was. You know, it was really just me going out and just listing property. And then one day, my brother comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, I have an opportunity." And I said, "Well, what's the opportunity?" He goes, "Corona." And I said, "Corona?" He goes, "Look, I just started an office out there. We've got some agents out there. I want, you know, all I want you to do is basically do what you're doing here,
Go do it over there.
prospecting and doing the role plays and all that. Just go do it over there." And I'm like, "Dude, I'm not in the business of helping anybody else right now.
I'm
I'm
helping
like,
myself right now.
I
Focus
am
on
just like,
me.
I am the most competitive human being you could just even conceptually freak. Like, I'm number one in this office is what I am. You know,
Yes,
that's what
yes.
I'm in the
That's
company.
my job right now.
Whatever. I'm coming at Rancho Cucamonga agents. Like, my mind is just like right there. You know, I'm
Yeah,
like,
laser focus on this office.
I'm taking this market, like, you know, which was just a great day. It was just great. It's just so fun.
Awesome. And then the opportunity comes, you guys build it so strong, and obviously then it Danny exits the business.
Yeah, so we basically we're growing, we're growing. My brother, I starts a coaching company, and
Right.
so, you know, probably for like the 2 years prior to his exit, was I was the chief production officer. What did that
Right.
mean? That mean that it was myself and five other individuals, six other individuals that were like had offices in different markets. And Monday huddle, here's what we're doing. You know, here's how we're doing it. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're learning. Here's the cadence, like all the stuff that we do that we're doing, right? Like,
Right.
I'm getting to like live action work through all of this, all of my ideas, all the study, but I'm also working with Sydney as well, which is beautiful, right? Because Sydney's like, "Oh, try this," and I'm like,
Right. And that's what I was going to go with that because a lot of times you can have all the idea, you can have all, but if you don't have somebody guiding you and kind of giving
"Oh
you
yeah."
the ideas, like you said, go try this now, because and this is from Joe Dispenza. He goes, we cannot read the label, we're inside the jar. A lot of times you can be doing all the stuff you think and you're supposed to be doing, but someone from the outside will come in and say, hey, what about that little corner? What about that little thing over there? And that's what I love about coaching. So again, I'm doing coaching, and that's the one thing I love always talk about because it is so important to have someone to kind of help you see those blind spots that sometimes you're not able to see because you're too busy doing the business. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You just don't know what you don't know. And so,
Bingo. I love that.
I
I love
mean,
that.
you don't,
You just don't know what you don't know.
third party independent verification type of stuff, right?
Absolutely. And that's what it
And
is.
so, you know, now I've developed the skill set of becoming an agent, and then I develop a skill set of now leading an office, and then my brother exits. And
Oh,
I
my God.
transitioned to a company called Corcoran Global Living, of which I was a regional VP for.
Right.
And amazing experience. I mean,
Yes.
you know, probably the one of the toughest things I've ever had to go through, hands down, because it really battle tested me as a leader. However, I learned so much.
There
You
you
know,
go.
so the big thing is that when we look at life from the perspective of, and Tony Robbins talks about this, right? It's like life is happening to me, then we feel like we're being attacked. Like we
Yeah.
feel like, why me?
I
Pobrecito.
mean, yes, exactly. Me, 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 me.
Versus life is happening for us.
Or
Then
me.
you start to identify, damn, these things that happened in my past, the way that they happen, as hard as they are to deal with, and as tough as they are, therein lies the beauty of the growth if you accept it. And even to today, I'll share with you, like, you know, I've always had a challenge with just watching people. I don't like fights. I never liked it. People fighting and stuff like that. I was sharing this the other day. I remember even animals fighting. I just don't like it. I remember growing up, I had bought a pit bull, $500. I had gotten this from insurance money from an accident that I was in Newport Beach. Got in an accident. We bought a pit bull. One of my brother's good friends had a pit bull, and he was a little bit more mature. He was a little bit bigger, right? Mm-hmm. And we take our pit bull to go see their pit bull. Well, my brother and his friend go, and they put them together, and they start fighting. And I'm like,
nope.
I'm crying, Bertha. I am crying to tears. Like, no, that's my baby. That's my baby, you know? And I was just like, no. And I just never liked it. Now looking back, I wish I would have been re-put in that situation, and everybody would have been
in their place.
Everybody would have been stabilized in that.
Right, yard. Right. And that's what matureness comes
everybody
from. When
everybody would have been stabilized in that yard that day. But right. But my tendency was not to go out and stabilize everybody. My tendency was to run and cry and be hurt.
Oh my God.
I bring that up now because I am, you know, now I am learning the arts of, I'll just put it this way. I'm involved in training right now is what I'm involved in. And so why? Because I realized that, wow, that was a pain point for me. And so now I can go address that in different ways. And so for me though, you know, that's that's what I've done, you know? And so it's like all these different things, even my relationship, you know, nobody taught me how to be a good husband or a good father. I'm not like, this isn't something, right? So back to your point of coaching, I went out and I hired a coach that's overseas. And you know, he helps me with just, hey, you know, the masculine, the feminine, you know, what is really important, what is really important and what is not important, you know what I mean? And so now I've developed my rise, and I've developed my decompress, where it allows me to slow things down around my business, and it allows me to really appreciate and spend time, quality time, sharing love, affection, you know, quality attention with the individuals in my life that mean the most to me, right? And so back to your point of that coaching, it's, you can look at the things that have transpired in your life, you can look at them as poor me, or you can look at them as, this is my opportunity.
Thank you, because that happens, right?
Thank you, Lord. I mean, and really, that's what it is, right? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity
to show me that part that it allowed me to learn from it.
Everybody that's listening needs to understand there's one word that I love the most, and the word is opportunity.
Yes.
Because when somebody gives you opportunity, that right there is, that just means that they care about you and that they love you. Now, oftentimes we're not seeing that opportunity as opportunity because we're stuck in our shadow. What's our shadow? Well, we're stuck in this realm of fear, anxiety, you know, all these different things versus I am powerful. I am strong. I am Bruce Lee. I am an amazing speaker. I am.
Now if I'm in
now
that
if
space
I'm in that
of
space
I am,
of I
can go out
and I
can
go out
and
I can
start
to
work
on
myself at
a
at
levels
that
levels
that
I'll tell you
Bertha
about
myself
learning
right
about
now
myself
that we
right
would
now that
we
would
never
understand
we
imagine,
were
capable. Imagine. Yes. Absolutely.
Understand it.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that part. I think it's beautiful that you know
we get to hear
firsthand
from you
because I've
seen you doing
some
stuff and I'm like, wow, that's
amazing.
And it shows
that
we're all in this
to
be the best.
Be the best
of
version
ourselves.
Of ourselves.
With
all those experiences that we have accumulated over the years,
it's just
making us to be that better.
Become more aware of what's going on and know when I need to step up into that next version of myself.
And hiring the right people,
having the right environment is so important.
Can I just share on that point? You said environment.
Environment is the key.
Why?
I'll give you a great example.
For me to understand that I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better father.
I want to be better in combat. I want to be better in self-defense. I want to be better strategically with my family. I mean, when I'm with my family, I want them to feel like I'm with him. I'm safe. We're good. But the environment is crucial. And here's why the environment is crucial. The environment is crucial because if it wasn't for my great friend Alex Lair, where I take my kids, and I thought I was doing it for my kids. So Alex has an amazing ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And in this ranch, it's like a big playground, right? Lakes, ponds. Like, have you ever been fishing?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I never been fishing before, right?
Yes, I've been fishing. I've seen where you have to set up.
So I go up with Alex and mm-hmm. I can do fishing, right? We can sit around a bonfire. We can do really fun stuff there. But also through talking with him, through the environment, and through being vulnerable and sharing some of these things, he is now able as a mentor, right? Same thing as when I'm in the real estate office, or right. Same thing as when I'm wherever, on the baseball field, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. That environment, now he's able to say, this is an area that, and the people that care about you the most, it's not that they're attacking you, it's that they're showing you these little opportunities. And as Alex yes. says, guardrails,
mm-hmm.
these little guardrails. It's like, when I just, no, hold on.
Go here.
Hold on, you know? So, yeah.
That's beautiful for sharing that. It's amazing. So moving, fast forwarding, we're done with Corcoran. You got such amazing lessons, I'm sure. And you're going to wow. cherish those, and you're going to definitely took from that what needed to be taken, learn what you needed to learn from that. Now we are in PAC. Talk to me about what it is that you have been able to put together for all these amazing agents that are now part of your organization, and share with us, what is that like, and what is your role with PAC, and what do you have to tell us about PAC?
Well, I'm the founder. I'm the CEO of PAC. It's really, you know, PAC is just, you know, to this point in my life, it's a culmination of kind of everything that I've been through and everything that I've learned,
mm-hmm.
You know, down to its core of, we are a production-based company.
There you go.
So when you come work here, when you join the PAC, you are in an environment that cherishes and that actually cares about your production. And here's what I'll tell you,
mm-hmm.
Realty was sold for people with vision.
There you go.
If anything anybody should take from this, it's that I'm working harder on myself than I'm doing on my job. And as a result,
everything just comes. Like, it's just, not, you don't even have to work as hard. Things will just start flowing, because when you become better, everything around you gets affected by it. And the fact that you're taking as a leader that, you know, role is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I know there's so much that we can talk about, and believe it or not, we're almost an hour in, and it's like, oh my God, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Is there anything specific that you like to share to that agent, to that person who's thinking about maybe, you know, either getting into the real estate business or in the real estate business and maybe feeling a little stuck, frustrated with their business? What would you give them as a piece of advice?
You know, so they're just getting into the business.
Let's say somebody new coming into the business, I'm new realtor. Oh, what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing, if I'm just getting into the business, is I really have to understand how to go out and get contracts signed at a high level.
Beautiful. Okay.
And I will also share that you got to be very careful. And here's why I share you got to be very careful, because mm-hmm. what you're going to find out is that 5 years is going to happen like that.
Like that. Yes.
It's going to happen so fast, and it's going to happen at such a velocity that you're going to look back and you're going to go, Oh my gosh, what happened? And so a lot like the way that I learned, we are not necessarily teaching agents how to become buyer's agents, for example. Why? Because I believe that in 5 years, once you've got a grasp of the business, you are going to want to become a listing agent in your market.
Your market.
Why do you want to become the listing agent in your market? Well, now all of a sudden the sign has your name on it. And when the sign has your name on it, it's truly the best form of marketing. Why? The buyers will come from that. We think about our great friend Mighty Lou Bailon. Oh my gosh, right?
Right.
Oh, look at that. Like, so watch. It's more difficult for a buyer's agent to become a Mighty Lou Bailon than it is for a Mighty Lou Bailon to become a buyer's agent. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So now,
when you have the listing, you have the buyer. And
there it is.
What's that? You put the sign up, and buyers will be calling you rather than you going out and looking for those buyers.
You become the hunted versus the hunter.
Exactly.
And there's multiple layers of that as you're scaling and as you're growing in this business. The other side of it is that is the buyer's agent is the employee. The listing agent is the employer. So you can look at it from multiple ways. See, the challenge that I have with the industry right now is everybody is preaching this Zillow Flex and this come work on my, you know, let me give you buyers. Let me give you this.
Give you leads. And then what happens when they don't get the leads, they leave.
And they're just eating it up. They're just eating it up, which is okay. That's fine. Because I get that naturally our tendency is to want to take the path of least resistance, right?
Exactly.
Let's be transparent.
But I always feel like a lot of times that does not help you become that listing agent, because you're waiting for things to come and waiting to be fed rather than learn how to hunt.
I always say every time.
Exactly. I will rather take you and show you how to fish than give you the fish, because again, you're going to learn and be able to do business. I always said this about my business too. When I said, I'd rather you come and work with me and I'll show you how to fish. Because if I don't teach you how to fish, you're going to die as soon as you leave my office. If you're always waiting on someone to feed you that business, you'll never be able to make it on your own. So again, having a production-based company, I think that has that behind it, what they're teaching you and helping you become the better listing agent, even the buyer's agent, obviously, but learning how to do the business. And you have such a great structure. Tell me a little bit about that. I love when I see that you guys have the role play, you have the coaching corner, you have all the areas for them to come in and just plug into the system.
And that's what it is, right? You just plug into the system, and I could probably rattle off 1,000 agents at this point over the course of my career and leadership that have taken the system and have generated income from the system at very high levels for a lot of them. And again, it's taking that system. It is then understanding, and it's really meeting agents where they're at, because, you know, you got a lot of leaders in the business right now that I consider them as leaders. However, they've been an agent for now 5, 10, 15 years, and it's past them and it hit them very fast, but yet they're still like a solopreneur. Like they do everything. So it's not delegated. It's like nothing is delegated. They work for their business. Their business does not work for them. And so the second layer and the second component of PAC is really teaching you how to go out and structure some time back into your life, right? And become a leader, because it's a completely different set of skill set. It's a completely different set of skills.
Now, some people will be scared about it, but I, again, having the system and having the leaders like yourself helping them.
Well, watch. Look, most top producers that you're going to talk to are probably going to say, I have a team of one or two people. Why? Because I don't want to waste my time with people teaching them, building them up so that they can just leave me. Or they're going to say they're not as hungry as me. They're not accountable. They're just not fit my model. Well, watch. If you have that mindset, all of a sudden get ready, because you're going to work for money the rest of your life. I'm sorry. We're not going to go to your retirement party.
Yes, that's for sure. Absolutely. Yes.
We're not. We're just not, because it's not. Look, selling real estate is, it's a great way to do it, but I am trading time for dollars, right? I am trading time for dollars. So my leverageability is very minimalize. Why I also believe in leveraged income. I believe in what my brother would share with me, which is money. You could work, you could make all the money in the world, just don't work more than 20 hours a week doing it.
Right? I remember those 4 days a week. You work 4 days a week, make all the money you want.
So now we're seeing kind of a culmination of all the kind of mentorship and the guidance. And as I mentioned, PAC is like, that's what it is for myself. So I'm also a big believer in leveraged income, right? Remember? Just over broke.
Right? Yes, job is just over broke. They want to keep you there and they pay you enough so just to keep you there.
So you know, we happen to have a beautiful, beautiful revenue share model that operates off of the collaborative way. And that's a whole nother dynamic on how it operates off the collaborative way versus a lot of other revenue share companies that do not operate off the collaborative way. And you start to see breakage and friction and things like that. So for us, we're very much production-based and we believe in the power of leverage. I believe in the power of Bertha, you becoming a leader like you are, you know, exactly what it is that you are to our industry. And the other part about that is it's a really cool way of like self-discovery, because I think that what agents at PAC realize when we say Realty was sold for people with vision is, number one, you're gonna have to work harder on yourself, because we're gonna challenge you. Like, how many people really go out there and share some of the stuff that we share out loud about themselves?
Because they're afraid of what others are gonna think. What if this? What if that? I'm like, that's me. Here it is. Take it, leave it.
It's like I don't want to share. We're like, just think about that. Any real estate office you walk into, everybody's like,
I have my secret.
I'm in my own little, right? Watch. And I just feel like therein lies the problem. So, I mean, it's just, you know, therein lies the challenge. I feel like we're going through a different space overall. Absolutely. In our industry.
And it's been proven, Anthony, that if you work harder on yourself, you know, the business and everything around you is just going to automatically be a reflection of the work you're doing internally. You know, you'll be the better person. You'll be the better human.
Earl Nightingale.
Yes.
The strangest secret.
Harder on yourself than you work on your business. Come on.
This is, you know, we hear these things so often, yet as you mentioned, we're not involved in environments that allow us to apply these things. So
1000%, my dear. I will
also share with you that, you know, the other thought process is, we will grow, the business will grow as much as our heart will allow it to grow. And also, I'm patiently impatient, if that makes sense. And so one thing is foundation. So many businesses today, and it's something I'm seeing, are not built on solid foundation. And when they're not built on solid foundation, maybe they're only a recruiting-based company or something like that. Mm-hmm. The foundation.
What's the key? Look it up, but from the perspective of real estate, what do we say? A house. What is the most important for a house to stay? The foundation.
So if you were to ask me, the principles of PAC really is really helping establish great foundation for individuals that are looking to take their life to a different level. We're really a transformational company, right? In your health, in your finances, in your relationships, we can help you transform there, in your spirit as a result. I mean,
And sky is the limit. As long as we have the foundation there, I mean, again, the right people are going to come to us and we're going to work with the right people, and this company will be.
And make no mistake about it. I don't say these words to say, oh, we're not a Century 21 or we're not one of these bigger companies. Be patiently impatient. And I say that with all sincerity. Mm-hmm. Patiently impatient, because to be determined is what I would say. To be determined on what the philosophies are and how those philosophies land in different spectrums and in different spaces over the course of time is what I will say. So, you know,
Thank you for sharing that part. So as we wrap this up, I really want to just to thank you again for taking the time. We didn't get the time to talk about the hair, which I was asking you off camera. I'm like, look at you. I've never seen you with such a long hair. And then you share a little bit about what's behind it. Tell me.
People need to stop acting like they don't love it, because I know they love it. So that's what they got to say. First off, they got to stop acting like they don't love it.
Well, no, the biggest thing is that you love it. That's what is the most important thing, right? You love it. You're carrying it with,
I do.
I love it. This is me now. And I'm a Leo, which I love that part when you said that.
You know, it's just, it's all about, it's all, again, right? It's working harder on yourself, you know, and you're right. I'm a Leo, right? And this, you know, I love my mane. I love it.
There you go. Loving ourselves is so important, because then we can share that and coming from that place.
And that energy, right? And honing and grabbing more of that energy and allowing more of Anthony's cup to be full, so that guess what? Other people's cups can now be full. You know, Bertha's cup, as Bertha takes care of herself, right? That self-care component, you know, it's like getting your nails done. You know, I was just thinking about this on the way over. Yeah. I was thinking about this on the way over because somebody commented, you really get your nails done every week.
Of course, yes.
Now, but so watch. You know what kid I was?
Really interesting.
That was me. But watch this though. Until going back, a great friend of mine, Las Vegas, Diane Varney. You know what she told me, Bertha? Mm-hmm. She said, "You want to be a top listing agent?" I said, "Yeah, I want to be a top listing agent." She said, "How are you going to be signing a contract on a $1 million property and somebody's looking at you with bitten nails?"
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you for sharing.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's like, now again, it's a small example of everything that we've talked about, but again, that's where I say working harder on yourself than you do on your job. That little thing, that little tactic right there of now, this, guess what? The right client's gonna go,
He's meticulous about his nails, he's meticulous about his job, and everything else is going to be the same way. And what did Danny said? How you do one thing, you do everything. You take care of yourself.
Those are the keys.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming. Now, one last question that I love to ask my guests is always, what legacy do you want to leave behind when we're all settled and done? And we're like, okay, how do you want to be? Remember, what is that Anthony people you want to think about when they think of you?
Just somebody that was there for them.
Beautiful. Being present for them.
Yeah. I you know, it's interesting, right? The world keeps going. The world keeps moving. You know, more than anything, I want, you know, just to, honestly, I'd never really thought about that too much. I just want to be somebody that inspired them. That's about it.
That's a beautiful thing to do, that, you know, somebody that was there for me, because a lot of times, you know, we go through life and there's only a few people that we can count. They said, my mom used to say, you can count your really, those good people in your life, you can count it with one hand, because there's only a few people in your life that you can always think of. He was there for me. He was there when I needed the most. So it was at the time when my life was going through, and you were that person. So that's an awesome.
You know what? That's at least what I strive for. At least like with people that I come into mm-hmm. acquaintance with people mm-hmm. that I'm around. It's he showed up.
Showed up for me. He cared for me. Beautiful. I think we can leave it at that. We'll definitely continue this. Maybe it'll be a part two. There's so much more that I'd love to dive in more, but I'm sure it'll be at the right time. Thank you so much for coming in today. I enjoyed it so much. I got definitely some good nuggets from what we spoke today, and I'm sure our audience are going to have the same, that you're going to have the same impact of them. See you soon. Can't wait to see the process of getting this podcast done and release it and have people really take advantage of what you were able to share with us today.
Thank you so much, Bertha, for having me. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Hasta la vista.
Thank you for listening to the Level Up Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in the show, you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Until next time, we hope you level up.